thank you to the worship team. You guys can sit down. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Okay, cool. I greet you all in Jesus' name. So I'm not Pastor Michael. Okay, some of you are still confused. Okay, I was asked to share a message as he's not around today, so that's what I'll attempt to do by the grace of God. Thank you for the introduction from Tleketane. You know, as I was sitting there listening to that, I'm like, oh, teacher of the word by calling. Oh. I was like, I don't know. I'm just here to share the word of God. I'm not even going to call this a sermon. I'm just going to say I'm sharing. I'm no pastor. I'm not perfect. But one thing, I love God. I love Jesus. And yeah, just as he introduced me, let me introduce my Lord as well. He conquered death. He died for us on the cross. He has never left me. Amen. He knows all my filth and secrets. He's got dirt on me, but he has never left me. Okay. So let's just pray and then we'll just dive into it. You can show my slides while I pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity for me to stand here as a vessel for you, because that's all I am, Lord, just a vessel. You are the one who speaks. It is your words that change lives. It's not my words. And so, Lord, I pray that you disrupt this sermon, Lord. I've prepared, been meticulous about my preparation, but, Lord, I pray for a divine disruption. Even if you have to change everything that's been prepared here, I've got my pretty little slides set up. Lord, you can change all of that because we're here for you, not for me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Perfect. I don't know if you... Oh, another one. Okay, another one. Hello? Hi? Why did you change the mic? I was happy with the other one. This one is pink. I don't like pink. Okay, can you guys dim these lights? There's these lights that are so bright, just for the purpose of the slides, if that's possible. Thank you. Okay, great. That's better. Can you guys see the screens?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's happening on the screen? Okay, there's this little girl. She's asking her mom, "Mom, can I have these new Nike sneakers?" And how does the mom respond? "Go wash dishes. Go wash dishes." All right. So, guys, I want to make this interactive, nah? Okay? I don't know what God is going to do today. I haven't been here, I've preached before, but it's been years, so I don't know what God's going to do. So I like interacting with the audience. All right, so what do you guys understand by that? What stands out for you in this image? I don't mind coming to you guys. I don't have a problem. What do you see? What stands out to you?
I don't know, actually. What stands out is that the child, instead of getting a direct answer, is just told that he has to do something for the thing.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
To my mind, I think is teaching us to teach our kids discipline. Yes, that's
right. All right. I can do this all day, guys. I don't mind.
Thank you. I don't want to sound prophetically, but there's a hidden after duty for me that is not shared. Go wash the dishes, but we're not told as to what's going to happen after. Thank you.
Okay. Last, going once, going twice. All right. All right, so this little girl, and you guys are right, this little girl is coming to her mom with an expectation. Nah? But The response of the mom doesn't seem to match her expectation. Go wash dishes. So how do you think it'll make the girl feel?
Very bad, right? Very bad.
My mom doesn't love me. She doesn't care about me, you know? And what do you think will happen afterwards? Will she go wash the dishes? Maybe. But maybe she might be grumpy about it, you know? Maybe she might be joyful. We don't know, depending on her. So we don't know why the mom's doing this. You said something about maybe trying to teach her discipline, you know? So we can speculate. I don't know as well. But what you're seeing here is something called disjuncture. Yeah? Disjuncture. So the dictionary defines this as a break or a gap, a misalignment, a disconnection in things you expect to align. Yeah? So in this image, there's this juncture between the child's expectation and the mom's response, right? So, and because of that gap, now there's space in the child's mind for the child to say, oh, my mom doesn't love me. But is that true, that the mom doesn't love her?
No.
No, it's not true. It's just that the child and the mom are at different levels of thinking, okay? So the main takeaway from the story is that if the child interprets this response as though the mom doesn't love her, the child will rebel. She'll go slamming doors, you know, go to her bed, I don't care, I'm not going to do that, you know. And if the mom sees that rebellious behavior, then we know this child is definitely not getting any sneakers, you know. All right, so we might look at this cartoon and laugh. Some of us might relate to it as either a child or a parent, you know. But in many times, this is our relationship with God. Mm? So most of the time, we tend to come to God in prayer with our prayers already wrapped up in expectation of how he needs to respond, how he needs to do it, and by when. But oftentimes, we are met with a response that doesn't meet our expectation or something seemingly irrelevant. So how many times have you prayed for peace and got war? How many times have you prayed for a job? God gives you a job, and it's like, great. You go to this job, and the boss is a tyrant. Disjuncture. You know, just because God told you to go to the job, now you expect that because God said it, everything is going to be smooth. But it's not. You know? Or maybe you have a financial crisis, and before you come to church, you're like, oh, God, I pray that the pastor speaks about finances when I get to church. You know? You come to church, the pastor is talking about addiction. Disjuncture. And how do you respond to that? You'll be like, ah, this sermon is irrelevant, and you toss it out. You know? So this is disjuncture. Spiritually, the disjuncture of God is when his ways don't match our logic. Nah? His instruction doesn't match our expectation, and his answers don't look like our prayers. So if I can use an example. For instance, I applied to study next year. Nah? Public Works was offering free bursaries for people who are working within the department. So I'm like, great, I'm going to take this opportunity to study. So I apply for urban design at a university. Cool. Time goes on, and then later on, I'm accepted at the university, which is a big deal because it's a very good university. But my bursary is denied. My bursary is denied. So I'm like, how? Did I hear God? You know, because I'm not prepared to pay 100K for studies right now, you know. So did I hear God? Disjuncture. Do you understand? So, and disjuncture, it also creates confusion, you know. Even though the Bible says God is not the author of confusion and all of that, but it's possible to be walking with God and be very confused, you know. And that's where many of us get stressed. This is where some of us walk away from him and conclude that he doesn't care about us. Back to that example, basically. So why does this happen? Okay, so why does this happen? So we need to understand, if you take anything from the sermon, this is the most important thing, what I'm about to say right now. So if you're writing, get your pens, okay? If you're not, just, I know some of you have really good memory, just store it, I don't know, press record, I don't know what you do. So very important. Why does this happen? Because God is not like us. It's a very deep theological answer there. God is not like us, eh? Okay? Can we say it? God is not like us. Please say it. Okay, great. Not like us, like that popular rap song. Next slide, please. Okay, so let's read. Our first reading is taken from Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. So it's there, so I'll just read it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we usually read the scripture, you know, and we're like, oh, God's ways are so high. Yee, whoopee. And that's it. But we don't think about its implications for us. No? How do we walk with someone who doesn't think like us? How do we relate with someone whose ways are not like ours? I mean, this is a big question. It's a big question. And the answer to that is very simple. We need to learn his ways. We need to learn his ways. His ways of doing things, his ways of thinking. Can we do the next slide? So, scripture, Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So, if we don't learn the ways of God, okay, you say, what are the ways of God? His way of doing things, his way of thinking. If we don't learn the ways of God, his acts will always confuse us. If we don't learn the ways of God, what he does will always be very confusing. And people who don't understand God's ways will always find fault with God. They will always be complaining, like the Israelites were complaining in the wilderness, and they never reached the promised land. Nah? So it says here that Moses learned the ways of God. Nah? And we see it in the wilderness. You know, there were a lot of disjunctures. You know, the Israelites would get to a place, God would tell them, go this way, and they get to a place, there's no water, or the water's bitter. What do? They start complaining and fighting with God, you know? And this up and down relationship with God, confusion, you understand? So, but Moses knew the way of God, and without Moses, the Israelites would not have reached the promised land. So, and today, God is calling us higher, to a place where we become acquainted with his ways. Okay, so before I get into my sermon, so this was just the introduction. I haven't started, okay? Another reason why we need to learn the ways of God is that God doesn't always lower himself to our level of understanding. We often need to come up to his. So that mom in that previous slide, she could have lowered herself to her daughter's level and explained to the daughter and say, daughter, the reason why I can't get you these Nike sneakers is because we don't have money or whatever other reason. But she chose not to, and that's fine. But God, he sometimes does explain, but for the most part, he doesn't, because he wants obedience that is based on trust before understanding. Amen? I'll repeat that. So God sometimes does explain his ways to us, but for the most part, he doesn't. Because he wants obedience that is based on trust before understanding. So this is important because many have walked away from God because of disjuncture, not having their expectations met, or when God does something they can't explain. Okay? So, but the basis of our walk with God is... All right, so let me skip that. So people expect God to understand God on their level. And when they don't, they are disappointed. They leave and never come back. All right? So next slide. So as you can see here, what happened is this girl, even though she didn't understand her mom's instruction, she ended up washing the dishes. Cheerfully, happily, you know? She still didn't understand why she's doing this. Or she didn't understand if she might get those sneakers at all. You know, and her mom, look at her mom. She's pleased, she's happy. And I have a feeling that she might end up getting those sneakers. When I look at this picture, I don't know what you guys think. So, very important, our response to disjuncture, our response to confusion, our response when it seems like we're not going to get what we prayed about, is what God is looking at. Ne? Are you still able to serve and worship with a good heart, even if it seems like you're not getting what you want? No? Or will you just walk away from him? You know, what brings a smile to God's face is when we serve, even when the situation says you might not get what you've prayed about. That makes God smile, okay? So many people stay away from church when God doesn't meet their expectations. Many stop spending time with God after a disappointment. That does not please God, because God is a person and he wants to be wanted. So he's not like a vending machine that you throw prayers at and you get answers, you know? And you get your answers without really loving him, you know? So, and then very important, this statement, again, a lot of times it's not always that we get what we wanted because we prayed for it. No? Other times God grants us what we prayed for because of how we responded when it seemed like we might not get what we prayed for. Okay? If that makes sense. All right? Okay, the next slide. So, how do we learn the ways of God? Okay, let me just summarize what I've said thus far. Ne? God is not like us. He's on a higher level of thinking compared to us. Yes. Ne? And because of that, there exists a gap. Yeah. Ne? There exists a gap. And he rarely comes down to our level. So we need to learn to come up to his. And how do we do that? We learn how he thinks. We learn his ways. Ne? And how do we do that? Through looking at his word. But not just reading his word like, oh, Jesus said this, Jesus said that. But reading his word with an intention to understand how this person thinks. Why this person does what he does. Okay? So that's what we're going to attempt to do today. Okay? All right. So that's the introduction done. So, but I don't want you to say, oh, it was introduction. Let's put it aside. Very important. If all you got from this is the introduction and you understood it, then you are better than most people. Yes, you know? So what I'm going to get into are just the examples now and the real world application using biblical examples. Okay. So we will examine three instances of disjuncture where God's thinking and man's thinking are different. Okay. And how God uses that in specific situations. So we're going to look at Naaman the Syrian. We're going to look at Jesus and the Canaanite woman. We're going to look at Peter and John's persecution. Okay, cool. Are we ready for the sermon? Amen. Okay, the sermon is about to start now. All right, next slide. Okay, I'm starting the sermon officially. Right. So Naaman, that guy in the red, he's commander of the Syrian army. Okay, so he has a problem. Okay, so he's commander of the Syrian army. He has a position. He has a title. You know, he has wealth. He has influence. But he has a problem. He has leprosy. He has a disease. So he needs help. You know, so his servant girl tells him, hey, there's a man of God in Israel who might heal you. So he goes there, knocks on the door, tells Elijah that, hey, I need healing for this. But to his shock, Elisha doesn't even come out of the house. Nah. He sends his messenger boy, and the messenger boy comes and tells him, hey, you need to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Right? We know the story, right? Can we move on to the scripture? So let me just read it quickly. 2 Kings 5, verse 9 to 14. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. Straightforward. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana, Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turns and walks off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. All right. So, disjuncture. He came to the man of God expecting something supernatural. He expected the man of God to be like, abracadabra, poof, you're healing. But Elisha didn't even come out. That is a disjuncture. That is a misalignment in thinking. And he ends up angry. Okay? So he came for something supernatural. God gave him something practical. Go wash. Nah? And sometimes we want spiritual solutions. But sometimes God brings us practical solutions. You have financial troubles? Start saving. That's the miraculous solution. You know? Issue with addiction? Minimize internet. And so let me just give a real world example. So you have a drinking problem, okay? In your mind, you tell yourself, if pastor can lay his hand on my head, I will be healed. I don't want anyone to touch me except pastor. No one. Nah? If I may touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. That kind of thing. All right, come Sunday, you go, pastor's not there. Pastor's not there, but he's given a book to Sbusiso to give to you, a book. And pastor wants you to read a chapter every week. A chapter every week. You are angry. You're like, no, I don't want to read a book. I want something spiritual. This is too practical. The week goes, pastor asks, did you read the book? No, I didn't read the book. So write this down. This is very important. Practical solutions can also turn out to be miracles when done consistently. Practical solutions can also turn out to be miracles when done consistently. Naaman washed. He took a bath 7 times in that river. And it became a miracle. He was healed. Okay? So, we should never underestimate practical wisdom coming from the mouth of a man of God. Okay. This is an example of the ways of God. You know? Our healing won't come one specific way. Our answer to prayer is not specific. And we should be open to that. Otherwise, we're going to walk away in a rage. We're going to say, this Christian thing is not for me. God doesn't work. But the solution is reading the book. Read the book. Do the homework. Save. Whatever pastor's saying. It's going to be miraculous if you're doing it consistently. Okay, the next slide. So the lessons about God's ways from Naaman the Syrian. Okay, I'm wrapping up that story. God is not a respecter of persons. So the other thing that I think might have ticked this guy off is because he's a Syrian commander, you know? I'm a Syrian commander. I expect the prophet to come and say, oh, Naaman, I've heard so much about you. Can I have your autograph? You know? He's expecting celebrity treatment, you know? But God is not a respecter of persons, you know? When we come into the house of God, we need to remember that everyone is on the same level. You might be like, no, I'm a professor. I have a PhD. I have 3 books. Well, you and your 3 books, professor, need to go take a bath in that river. You know? Because we're all on the same level. So God does not recognize celebrities in his kingdom, which comes back to the same point. Because if you now hold on to your titles, you're going to have expectations. This is where these expectations come from in prayer. You know? God told you, JT, maybe to, I don't know, he says, go live in Mafikeng for ministry. You get there, you look for accommodation. There's no accommodation. The only accommodation available is a back room shack, you know, and you have to live there. And you can be like, I can't live there. I've got my bachelor's, you know, or I'm the king's kid. I can't live in a shack, you know. But, I mean, my king, he was born in a manger, you know. So sometimes the starting point will be humble when you are born into a place, you know? But if we're leaning to our titles, we won't even see what God is doing and not walk in alignment with him. So the next point, answers to prayer might involve your input. It's not done. The demon of poverty is out. It might involve your input, you know? He wanted something supernatural that didn't involve his input. But Elijah told him, you have to go bath. Some answers to prayer might need you to do something. Submit that CV. Go study. You know, go work. It might need you to get your hands dirty. So we should be open to getting practical answers to our prayers. And the last one, practical answers to prayers can become miracles when done consistently. Okay, next slide. All right. So this next story is from Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, which is a rather controversial story. A Canaanite woman comes to Jesus asking for healing for her demon-possessed daughter. Okay? So let me just leave it at that. And so this is quite an interesting story because the way Jesus responds to this woman is not what we would expect. There's a disjuncture between what. If a woman comes to Jesus asking for healing for her daughter, what I would expect Jesus to say is, "Oh, show me where your daughter is. Let's go. Let me go heal her. Cast that demon out." Nah? But he doesn't do that. It's very different. And the way he deals with him, it's like he's toying with her. And some people might say, "Oh, it was emotionally abusive." Okay, next slide. Let's get into it and see. All right, so Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. Okay, let's pause there. You know, in my culture, I'm Zulu. In my culture, if someone ignores you, that is disrespect level number one. Because, Ungzibelan, why are you ignoring me? You know? Blue ticked by the Son of God, guys. You know you're not getting a miracle that day. You know? But, and most of us would have quit the faith there. You know? We would have quit the faith. "Oh, no, this Christianity thing doesn't work for me. I called out to God and God didn't listen to me, you know. God, where were you?" At verse 23, but what does this woman do? Let's continue. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, first words to the woman now. He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." So his first response to this woman is, "I ain't here for you. Fam, I ain't here for you." You know? So, which is a fact. Jesus was sent to his people. He came to his own. It's a fact. And how often do we shrink when we are given facts? Nah? "Oh, no, the doctor says this pain, it's not going away. It's going to be there for life, eh?" Or scientists say three in five women will suffer this when they're 30. Facts. And then we back off in our faith. We stop praying. But what does this woman do? She carries on. Right. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Verse 26, he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Wow. So Jesus says to the woman, "Woman, you're a dog. You's a dog." Do you understand this? I don't know. You know, let's just take it as it is. Winja, in my language. It carries weight, this thing. Do you understand? So if Jesus calls you a dog, you know you are not getting anything that day. A dog. Okay? Offense. Do you understand? But what does this woman do? She carries on. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bed and give it to the dogs," yeah? 27, "Yes, it is," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, the question here is, why is Jesus so cruel here? If you want to give me a miracle, give it to me. Otherwise, just keep it. Don't be calling me a dog. Don't be ignoring me. Do you understand? But we have to understand, Jesus is not a prayer vending machine. Prayer is not, it's not a business transaction. Oh, I paid prayer. I deserve this answer. I'm paying for my, it's not a barter. Jesus sometimes wants to see your faith. And sometimes faith is seen when there's resistance. Nah? Sometimes faith is seen when there is resistance. And the important detail here about God's ways, sometimes he creates the resistance. Do you get what I'm saying? He created the resistance here. It's not the devil. It's Jesus himself, you know? And what he, Pharaoh, the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God did it. Meanwhile, God is also here coming up with these plagues and these miracles to try and convince Pharaoh to let the children go. So your God is literally fighting against himself here. You understand? Hardening Pharaoh's heart, creating the resistance, and also trying to overrule the resistance. Do you understand? So God creates the resistance, and this is the ways of God. And how would our prayers be? Yeah? How would our faith be when we understood it's actually Jesus who's creating the resistance to test our faith? When the disciples were in that storm, they were in the boat. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. That storm, I believe it was created by Jesus. This is off record, yeah? So I'm going to stand away from the pulpit. This is just me thinking. I think Jesus created that storm because he stopped it as well. And he said, where's your faith? That means he was looking for something. He was looking for their faith. So if we understood that whatever you're going through, you know, you are praying and you feel like God is silent, he's creating that resistance deliberately. It's deliberate. Even your Christian walk, the challenges that you go through, the doubt, nah, he's creating that resistance to see your faith. So he can say at the end, woman, you have great faith. Woman, you have, it's like hurdles. I don't know if you guys know hurdles. When people are running, they jump this hurdle, the next hurdle. So it's like Jesus puts these hurdles. You've jumped past the first one where I ignored you. Okay, great. Let's give you this hurdle. This hurdle of facts. You've jumped past that. Oh, now let's call you a dog. Let's see. And he's watching how you respond when you think you might not get your miracle. Like that little girl, no? With the sneakers. The mom was watching. She placed that hurdle, go wash dishes. Let's see how she responds. Okay. So, next slide. So, lessons about God's ways from the Canaanite woman. So, basically today, we're just going through the word. But we're going through the word with intention to learn how God thinks. No? So, we're not confused when things happen. So God sometimes is the cause of the resistance of your prayer to see your faith, okay? Like, if I can make an example, me coming to stand here and preach, there was a lot of opposition, a lot of opposition, internally and externally. Yeah. You know sometimes when God is calling you into your calling or some place, just stuff goes wrong out of nowhere. Yeah. Big things, you know? And God is watching. Will this guy still serve, even with all of this going on? He made that resistance happen. It's not the devil, it's him. It's him. God expects us to persist through the resistance. Nah? To persist through the resistance. We need to persevere when it seems like God is not listening to us, beyond facts and beyond offense. I mean, oh, pastor, I waved to pastor last week and he didn't wave back. I'm leaving Go Church. This lady was called a dog. Next slide. All right. Okay, this is the last story. So the last story is taken from Acts 4. Peter and John have just healed a lame man at the temple gate. So what happens is they get arrested and threatened by the religious leaders and strictly warned, very important, they are strictly warned not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. So they go back to the church to tell them what had happened. Okay? They go back to the church to tell them, hey, we were persecuted and threatened. So what do you think the church will respond? What do you think is the response of the church in prayer? I would think the church would pray, hey, oh Lord, please protect our two brothers here, you know. Lord, please deal with those who persecuted them. Lord, please, we pray for, work with the government, Lord. Work on their hearts for, we want religious freedom. You know, powerful prayers. Those are powerful prayer requests. But let's see what they prayed. Next slide. So this is the church praying after they heard John and Peter were persecuted. Acts 4, verse 29 to 31. Now, Lord, look on their threats. That's a good start, at least. Look on them. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. But they just got threatened for that. They may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So imagine you are Peter and John there. You know, you've just been threatened, persecuted outside. You are back at church and you are telling them. And the church, what they pray for is like, Lord, please give these boys more boldness that they may preach your word more. It's like, but we were threatened not to preach. What about our protection? What about our emotional trauma? There's none of that. No mention of that. And I believe this was spirit-led. Because we don't pray for this. We don't. This is not the first prayer request that we will get into after that ordeal. Do you understand? And what's worse is God's response. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And I imagine some of us standing there would have been like, God, you already did that in Acts 2. Why are you filling us with the Holy Spirit again? We need protection here, you know? God's ways are not like our ways. Amen. So this is the disjuncture of God. Instead of dealing with our persecutors and the people who are troubling us, he empowers us. He would rather give us a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that is the solution for persecution and troublesome people. So you might be dealing with that same situation, troublesome people in your family, at work, wherever you are. The solution is not necessarily sometimes praying they go away, according to God's ways, according to this story anyway. What we're praying for is for more empowerment, for you to be a testimony to them. Amen. So, and your protection is in that empowerement as well. Your protection, your healing of emotional trauma is in that empowerment. So God is not like us. He doesn't think like us. Do you understand? So, all right. So let's go to the next one. So the lessons of God's ways from the early church. God's answer to troublesome people is to empower you with more boldness and the Holy Spirit. The next thing, God doesn't follow trends. God doesn't follow trends. So just because something is trending on social media, it doesn't mean it's now a prayer request, you know? COVID, people are dying. You know, let's go to church. Obviously, God, we must pray about COVID. And God doesn't even, that's not even a prayer request anymore. The prayer request is, oh, let's build the worship. Let's pray for the worship. Let's pray for missionaries. Let's pray what, you know? So a lot of times we need to stand back concerning our situation and ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray and then listen to him, because his perspective will be entirely different. Okay? So we need his help to pray in alignment with his will. All right. Next slide. So this is now my concluding story, the ultimate disjuncture, misalignment between our expectations and God's. So imagine you were one of Jesus' disciples and you believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Ne? You gave up your life to follow this man, okay, all those 3 years. But now Jesus is hanging on a cross and he's being tortured by Roman soldiers. You're afraid for your life, okay, because now everyone knows you are acquainted with him. You are now living behind closed, locked doors. It's easy to lose all hope in that situation and renounce your faith, to question whether he really was the Messiah. Did you really hear from God? Disjuncture, okay? And it's in this place where God watches us very closely. Nah? This is where our faith is tested and the substance is revealed. So you might be in this place where you feel like your hope has died. Nah? And we need to encourage ourselves in the word of God, because if these disciples had gone back to the word of God, they would see this was actually meant to happen. Jesus was supposed to be given over to the Gentiles, and he was supposed to rise from the dead. So if they went back to what Jesus said, and he told them before he died, he told them that, hey, guys, one of you is going to betray me. I'll be given over, but I will come back. I'm preparing places for you in heaven, you know, well, in the Father's house. Do you understand? So We need to remind ourselves of the word in that place where it seems our hope has died, in the disjuncture, in the confusion. Okay? So, last slide. All right. We see our friend again. Oh, back. Can you reverse? Okay, no reverse gear. All right. Oh, great. Okay. So we see that she ended up getting her sneakers. Okay, that's very powerful. It's very touching. I'm touched. Okay. So what we need to understand is God is not like us. No? And there will always be a gap between our expectations and what he does. And that can be disappointing. No? But we cannot walk away from God every time we are disappointed, every time our expectation is not met. We can't abandon him every time we don't understand, like the Israelites. Lord, there's no water. We want to go back to Egypt. You know, otherwise we will live a very up and down Christian life. You know, if we don't understand the ways of God, we're going to live like that. 1 week we're like, oh, prayer, prayer, prayer works. Next week we're like, ah, you know, this prayer thing. You know, 1 week we're like, oh, tithing has changed my life. The next week, no, you know. 1 week we're coming to church. The next week we're like, ah, you know, there was a crisis. I have to take a break for a while. Just try to find myself, you know. I'm just trying to find myself, you know. Just this church thing, you know. So God is calling us to a place today of stability where we would learn to trust him just a bit more to be able to say, even though I don't understand you, God, I choose to trust you. Jesus says, blessed are those who have believed even though they have not seen. Also, blessed are those who have believed and have not understood. And the first step to learning God's ways is trusting him. All right? And I'll close with Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So let us come up a bit higher today and let's learn his ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are God. You are God, Lord. You are God of the universe, creator of the universe. And by that reason alone, there will be a disjuncture between our ways of thinking and your ways of thinking, Lord. But help us when this confusion happens, Father. When this gap comes about, may we not fill it with disappointment. May we not fill it with bitterness, Lord God. But may we fill it with trust. May we fill it with patience. And may we fill it with love, knowing that you are watching us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.